Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Caroline Mundell as my special expert guest. Caroline is a CSNA master as well as a personal trainer and yoga instructor. She is the owner of Function Health and Fitness, a wellness company that works with clients to help them create a balance within their lives by addressing not only nutrition, but all the factors that contribute to a healthy lifestyle. As a mother of three, Caroline understands the importance and the challenges of fueling your body properly to have enough energy to deal with the stressors of everyday life. Caroline recently competed in her first fitness competition to further challenge herself and expand her knowledge into the intricate workings of the human body. Her goal is to use this information as well as her many other life experiences to educate her clients about living a healthy, well-balanced lifestyle. Good morning, Caroline. Welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update.
Good morning, Corey, and thanks for having me on the show.
It's wonderful to have you, and I feel connected to you in many, many ways. So I think people probably want to share that connection. And the first question I usually ask our guests is something about their personal life. Like in this case, you're operating a wellness school, you know, you're working in the health and fitness industry. But what brought you to it? What things happened in your life that kind of led to this current involvement in such an exciting career?
Well, I'm glad we have, what, 3, 4, 5 days to go over all that. But to sum it up, I've always been very much interested in health and fitness. I was an athlete when I was younger. I still am now, but I was a competitive figure skater to start off with. Essentially, my shift into a real focus in nutrition was as I had kids and started to see more their reactions to food and the way, you know, sugar and different things would cause all sorts of problems in their systems. And I found my energy and the importance of staying healthy to be mentally functioning for the family became quite heightened at that time. So with my athletic background and my desire to stay fit and well all the time, and then the opportunity to really focus on learning about nutrition and being actually quite shocked at the lack of information that was out there for myself at the time, I basically sort of self-taught my way through until I came and sat at one of your lectures. And I remember sitting in the room and thinking, oh my God, I have found my people. This is it. This is like my fountain of knowledge. That's the short version of where this all came from.
Well, that's very much like my own experience too. They say that whatever it is that you've got inside of you originally, maybe it's genetic, we don't really know. I don't know. But whatever it is inside of me, it seems to be called out from within. Like you hear somebody say something and it wasn't them specifically that changed your life. There was something inside of you that was already burning, but they were the ones that kind of opened up the door for you to walk through. And so I can totally relate to that. So you are working in this newfound adventure. You've built a club. It sounds exciting. I went to your website. It looks brilliant, but I want to know more about it. I'm sure everybody else does, because there's a lot of people out there, Caroline, like yourself, that wanted to be independent, that want to have more control over your life, that don't want to be a wage slave and work for other people and be an employee. They want to maybe dominate their career path. Tell us about what you and your partner, Jeff, have created.
Me and my partner, Jeff, started off just as a small personal training company with the added bonus of having the nutrition. So with that, we built up our client base and we're given this opportunity to open up a wellness center downtown Yaletown. So it's actually 856 Homer Street in Yaletown, which is a great location because it's sort of right in the hub of downtown, lots of areas around. And we always had this idea of having a wellness center and running a company where someone could walk in our door and know that they could just trust that they would be taken care of, that we would be able to teach them how to train, teach them how to eat. If they needed massage, if they needed realignment, we have a massage therapist, we have a chiropractor. We're looking at different lifestyle coaches and other people we can bring on board. So really like a one-stop shop and not something where you become dependent on us, but the actual reverse. So you come in and you feel like you're part of a community that's helping you be independent and helping you take control of your life and take control of what you need to do for yourself to be well.
Okay, so you've got this training environment, but you've got a real strong focus on education. And you mentioned something at the beginning of the conversation about combining the nutrition with the fitness. And is that what you think makes you different from the rest? Or is that becoming more common now? Or is it still something that people don't really understand, that connection between the fitness and the nutrition?
I definitely think that people do miss the importance of the connection between the fitness and nutrition. I find a lot of people come in starting off, I want to get healthy and strong, so I'm going to work out. And we take people on exactly where they're at and then slowly work with them to help them kind of see the importance of bringing the two together. And I have found 100% of the time, if you have nutrition and the fitness component in alignment and you are focusing on both, then the results are amazing. If you don't have one or the other, there isn't the same progress. And I find, especially with the nutrition, there's a lot of people out there who work really, really hard. They're working out all the time. And unfortunately, without the knowledge of what to fuel their bodies with, they either don't see the results in terms of weight loss or muscle gain, but it also causes a lot of stress for their body. You know, you think of working out and exercising as something that keeps you healthy and strong, but if you don't fuel yourself properly, it can switch over almost to have a bit of a reverse effect where it wears and tears on your body.
Isn't that true? Did you take in any of the Summer Olympics at all?
A very small portion. Lots of gymnastics. That seems to be my favorite.
Yeah, no doubt. Aren't they beautiful? And when I'm watching the athletes, I'm thinking about, okay, most of them are young. They're young people. Unfortunately, a lot of Olympic athletes, people might think otherwise, but it's not true. They don't have organic, whole food, fresh diets. You know, they eat McDonald's, they drink Coca-Cola. These people have dominated. These corporations actually have sites and the facilities at the Olympic Village. So I'm thinking more long-term, like where will these athletes be? Because you just stated that the effects of training is a form of stress. And it stresses the body. Now, at your age right now in your life, you decided to compete. So you actually put your theories to the test. You actually put your knowledge to the test. And why don't you tell us about that, what you experienced. Tell us how old you are and what event you went in and what it was like. I'm sure everyone will be really interested to know that.
Okay, well, currently I'm 32 years old, and I went into the fitness diva category of a fitness competition. So there's the bodybuilder category, and then there's a bikini model category, and then the in-between is sort of the fitness models. So I felt that would be an appropriate challenge for me, because I tend to keep myself fairly fit, and I wanted to lean out and challenge myself in that area, but not to the bodybuilding extent. So the experience itself was really amazing. I found what it did is it really got you in tune with your own body. So you follow a format of working out and eating, and as you tune yourself closer and closer to the competition, it's amazing how you can notice the difference. So if you don't fuel right at the right time, then you will notice your energy drop, and you become a machine. Like, I believe our bodies are a machine essentially anyways, but you really become in tune with that machine. So I found I was energetic and I felt healthy and I felt strong the whole time. And I used it too to communicate with my clients, because I train a lot of women, a lot of moms, you know, a lot of stress put on seeing these, you know, bikini model pictures and then looking at themselves in the mirror and thinking, you know, I don't look like that. I want to look like that. And for them to see the fitness competition, see what I was doing and the amount of effort it took and what you needed to do in order to get your body to look like that, and how probably most people don't look like that model picture all the time. I found it was really eye-opening for not only me, but for many of the people around me and the people that I work with.
So what would you have done differently now? Because every time I have an experience, athletically speaking, like a competitive event, you know, you prepare and you get better and better and better at it. And the idea that includes progression is that you look back at what you did, and then you think, okay, I've learned something about my body. I know how it responds. We're getting into some individual biochemical issues here. What did you learn about your body, and what would you do differently the next time?
A couple key things I would say that I would do differently. One is changing up my workouts a bit more. I think that I needed to shock my body a little bit more as I was doing the training, because I got very much hooked on the routine of this workout and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, because I found that structure very helpful mentally to progress through. But I think my body would have benefited more from a bit of a variation. And secondly, the last 2 weeks of the fitness competition, you deplete your system of all fats, and you go down to pretty much lean proteins and eating every 2 hours. And I kind of just went by the book, by what I was sort of told to do, as opposed to listening exactly to what my body needed, because that was an area that I was very unfamiliar with, right? I've never done anything like that before, so I thought it'd be easier to just do kind of what I was told and then see where it went. And now looking back on that, I probably would have changed it up a bit, maybe not cut down my fat so much. I think that would be one of the key things.
Yeah, it seems as if the idea is to just go extreme, like massively extreme. And the problem that I see with that I experienced when I was younger, is that most of the people that I was looking at and maybe taking advice from or asking did not have that deep-centered health consciousness. It was not about health and wellness. It was about performance. It was about achievement, and it was about winning. And I realized that they would be willing to do anything to win, including even destroy themselves. And what was even more bizarre was that they were unaware of what it was that they were even doing. They didn't even know that they were destroying themselves. So I guess in this case, you could agree that ignorance is not bliss. The more knowledge you have, the more experience, the better.
Absolutely.
Now let's take some of this value that you learned, and now with your experience, I guess in philosophy there's two types of knowledge: a priori, which is the kind of knowledge that we gain by studying something without having done it, and then a posteriori, which is what you've got now. You have actually got the competitive experience under your belt, so you become now a better consultant, a better promoter, and a better teacher because you've got both. So when you're working with your clients, and maybe specifically with the women, or men and women, what are some of the most important dietary changes that your clients need to make that you teach them to consider?
Let's see. Everyone is different and always brings a different set of challenges to the table. But I would say across the board, increasing their protein intake and decreasing their carbohydrate intake, whether it's simple carbohydrates or dense carbohydrates, and educating them in the need for carbohydrates and how to use them. Because there's a lot of confusion around how to eat, and people come to me with some pretty interesting ideas. So I would say in general, if they do increase their protein intake, that seems to be the one thing that if I was to tell everyone, it changes the way they eat. It changes the way their hunger seems to regulate, and it really seems to have an effect on their ability to even go along with the nutrition programs that I recommend.
And would you also agree that until you put yourself to the physical test, like when you actually go in the gym and train or run or swim or cycle or move, you're not nearly as much aware consciously about the impact of nutrition? There seems to be that connection between your eating and thinking about what you're eating. Like you've gone to the gym, you've worked out, you've put energy into it, and then maybe you might consider what it is that you're going to eat after that, more so than if you didn't.
I would agree with that. I actually recently just had a couple of clients, they're a husband and wife, and they've come in to see me. They've been recommended by someone else who had done a program for. And they basically said, you know, we just want to get healthier. We want to lose a bit of weight. We don't do anything extreme, but we just want to learn how to eat properly, because they just felt like something wasn't quite right. So I made their nutrition program for them. They came back 6 weeks later. You know, we sat down and we went over it, and they're like, you've changed my life. Like, this is unbelievable. The one guy had lost 16 pounds in 6 weeks. And it was increasing his protein intake and teaching him about meal timing. And they had a trainer and they were working out with him. And the woman said to me, she goes, you know, we're not sore after we work out anymore. We go and we work out, and like 2 hours later, we're good to go. She goes, we used to be sore every time. We'd be sore for like 2 or 3 days. She goes, we don't work out any harder. We don't do anything different, but maybe it's just something in the protein shake. I don't know. And I just sort of laughed to myself. I'm like, yeah, it's what you eat. When you eat properly, your body can do anything. It was really nice to hear that sort of said back to me from someone, you know, with that sort of eye-opened new experience.
Yeah, I think that's part of the unseen value in doing what we do, and that is seeing people take the advice and adapt to new information and utilize it and then come back and say, wow, this is powerful. And people say, oh, thank you, Corey. Thank you. You changed my life. And I say, no, you changed your life. All I did was facilitate, because the same thing happened to me. I reached out. I found the information. I applied it. That application to me is what builds the self-esteem in people. When they know that they did it, then they also can think, well, wow, if I did that, then there's a whole bunch of other stuff that maybe I can do too. So this is why I think that the platform of self-esteem starts very, very early, young in age, when we teach children how to live and eat and look after themselves from a health point of view. And this is a great lead-in now. You're a mother of three. Tell us about your kids and how old they are and what they're up to and what impact society and culture is having on their lives regarding nutrition and fitness.
As you said, I have three kids. My oldest is 13, and then I have a daughter who's almost 12 and another daughter who is 5. So they're all very, very different kids. My middle daughter is a competitive dancer. So that's a whole nother ball game. If you want a load of misinformation, go hang out in the mom's dance room and listen to the type of nutrition stuff that goes on there. But my son, he's much more of a computer, likes to just kind of sit and be very sedentary, essentially. And then my littlest one, she's very active, naturally high energy, running around all over the place. And as far as fueling for them and food and nutrition, it's definitely posed some challenges, because I can say even in the last 5 years, there's been a significant improvement in what the school systems are trying to implement, at least in terms of teaching the kids and telling them about the importance of health and wellness. But it's still, the information that they're getting is still not accurate. Like, I've had my kids come home and they've had the Canada Food Guide, and my daughter's been preaching about, we need to be eating this and that and the other, and my teacher says, and I've looked at it and I said, actually, no. And I've handed her your food pyramid. I said, take this back to your teacher and you tell her this is what you should be doing. I don't know how well that went over, but yeah, there is a difference. It is hard for, as a parent, to try and communicate the importance of healthy eating and what that actually is to kids when they're bombarded with TV and some of the stuff that they're given in school is not accurate, in my opinion.
How do you deal with opposition, like when you have an argument? Now, I know it's changing now, because I found that Ruby has a newborn baby and the baby doesn't challenge Ruby about being breastfed. She just, you know, grapples for the breast, right? Just give them the breast. And I find that when they're little like that, you have total, absolute control over what you feed them.
Yes.
But after around 5 or 6, they get in the school system, they see their friends eating all this crap that people call food, and of course the schools actually discharge into their brains and into their bodies garbage, Coke, hot dogs, crap cafeteria food. So there's got to be a problem there between what mom says and what the school system and all the friends, and like, you're one person, but this mighty weight of culture, mighty weight of society. Then they go to their friends' houses and they see all their friends eating junk, and they have dinner at their friends eating junk, and then the coaches eat the junk and maybe they're fat and not in shape. So how do you deal with that with your children?
Let's just say I am not the favorite mom all time. There's been a few terms thrown around the house, like health freak. I do have a 13-year-old.
Which is actually a compliment, as you well know.
Well, yeah, I don't mind it, but I know that sometimes they do find the way I try and feed them. Like, I've had my 5-year-old say to me, Mom, you need to feed us kid food. You try and feed us adult food, but that's not what we eat. Right? And so I look at her, I'm like, well, hun, actually, yes, this is what you need to eat. But there's compromise, and I don't compromise in terms of feeding them a bunch of garbage, but I look for foods that at least mimic what they are hoping to have some of the time. Like, I'm not, for myself, I don't eat any breads, just because for my body it doesn't process well. But of course, my kids, you know, they want to have bread in the house. So I've hunted down some really healthy, good alternatives, some gluten-free breads, and not like the plasticky cardboard stuff that's semi-healthy. Like, anyone else on the planet would go, oh, that's super nutrition. But for me, I think, well, you know, it'll do. So I do try and teach them that way, because I want them to not completely disown what I do. I don't want them to take how I eat and what I'm trying to teach them and just completely write it off because there's no give on my end. Because I don't know how much experience you had with your own kids with this, but you know, at a certain point, if there's no reasoning with a person, then you tend to write that person off. So I like to try and compromise a bit with different things. Like we'll make our own popsicles with organic juices and things. And I don't have any white sugar in the house, but I'll use like that coconut palm sugar as a sweetener. Like I'll put unflavored protein powder into the white mashed potato. No one has to know.
Yeah.
Right? And it slows the glycemic rush.
Thicker, huh?
Right?
Yeah.
So like things like that.
Well,
you know, the protein smoothies will have so much agave syrup in that I would want to vomit if I drank them, but they will drink them that way,
right,
as opposed to not have them at all.
Yes. I've heard a lot of adults tell me that they're happy to have had someone like you in their life. And this is what I've seen too. All of my children were prodigal sons and daughters. They all went away from it. I saw that just being a role model is not enough. You can be the most virtuous, beautiful, solid, centered, whole person in the world, and still people will look at you like you're some kind of alien. They have no concept of who you are. They have no trust in you, no respect for you. And you're wondering, well, this is not what I was led to believe. Like, for example, I was led to believe that children learn what they live. So I figured that if I lived the way I talk, and we do, as you know, and I know that you do, that isn't enough, because you're not the only person influencing them in their life. Isn't that true?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Keeping that in mind as a parent is always helpful, because you can beat yourself up a bit when you see your kids doing things. Like I know I find, and whether this is an extreme or not, I find if I see my kids eating stuff that I know is bad for them, it actually pains me. I know I said that to people and they look at me kind of funny. I'm like, you don't get it. It just, I know how bad it is for them. And I know how I would feel if I was to eat that way. And I just don't want that for them.
What a beautiful example of true love. And I feel exactly the same way. And then you even have to rise above that and let that go, which is it's a great challenge within yourself, isn't it? It's like when you're watching your mom and dad or brother and sister destroy themselves. We could take it to the extreme and use drug addiction. But I don't think in terms of that. I just think in terms of how people eat. It's a form of drug addiction, and it's incredibly insidious and destructive, and they have no idea what they're doing. But you got to sort of wash your hands of it. You've got to let go, and I guess some people say let go, let God. Others say let go, let love. I say let go, let health. And let the health reign in my mind, in my consciousness, and still love people in spite of what they're doing. Because in the same way that I don't want someone telling me what to do, we can overstep our boundaries and start getting on the holy roller kind of nutrition bandwagon and start preaching to anyone except the choir, right? And then we become guilty of the very thing that they're doing, which is criticizing us of how we're doing it.
Oh, absolutely. As well-intentioned as my family always was, they had no knowledge of proper food and nutrition. Absolutely none, in my opinion. And when I first started to really kind of put my foot down about how I was going to treat myself and what I was going to feed myself, I got a lot of flack from them. Like, oh, come on, it's not that bad. Oh, you can have an ice cream. Oh, you can, you know, because growing up as a kid, those are all the things we did. So why would I now have to change anything? And now they've come to understand, because I was telling them, you know, this is just about me. I just want to feed myself a certain way. I'm happy to share my knowledge with you. I'm happy to, like, when you come to my house, I'm going to make food that's really healthy and really good, and everyone will enjoy it. But if I come to your house and there's stuff that I can't eat there, it's not a big deal. I don't care. But just please don't be offended if I have my own food or I ask a few questions so that I can make conscious choices about what I eat when I'm there. And so, yeah, I am very aware of that, not to try and preach to people who don't want to be preached to.
True. At our upcoming conference, I find that most people that will come are already converts.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that actually need the knowledge, the millions and millions and millions of people out there that are just falling apart and suffering needlessly, they're the ones that have actually no interest in it. So that's an interesting dilemma. And I sometimes like reading autobiographies and the works of the great minds and masters, because they had the same kind of dilemma. At their time, they had reached the summit of understanding that was far more advanced or enlightened than people around them. And yet they felt so alone and so isolated because they couldn't even talk about what they thought about. You know, like they discovered something that was incredible, something really powerful and true, and it worked, and there was science and math to it. And yet, even in spite of that, they were condemned or criticized. I guess at one time, if you even said the wrong thing, people would string you up or cut your head off. Can you imagine living in a time like that?
I'd be dead.
No kidding. How can you survive? So imagine comparing that time to now, and yet we still see this tremendous state of humanity where people, for whatever reason, and there's millions of them, I'm trying to figure them out, either purposefully reject or they're just solidly ignorant, or they're afraid, or they're, I guess, bound up inside their minds by negative emotions or fears or programs and all the rest of it. So that has helped me to let go, and because I'm not the king of the world and the prince of peace and all that, so I haven't got the power to untangle their brains or make them want to be well. I haven't got that power, but I do have the power within me, and I think that that is what you have also discovered about yourself, that you have the power yourself to change in spite of the influence of your friends and family when you were growing up. So my question to you is, what makes you different, Caroline? Why your brothers and sisters, your mom, your dad, you mentioned that they didn't really have the knowledge. What made you different? Why did you spring up and change? What is it about you that's different from everyone else?
I guess for me, I got a taste of how it felt to feel really good and feel really healthy. You know, I was an athlete. I was active. I did seek out what to eat. It was always on my mind. I wanted to know how to eat properly. And I think once you experience what it feels like to feel this good, you will always strive for it. And I found that with all of my clients, because you have, like I said, you'll have people come in who are just about the personal training and just about the fitness, and they don't really think about the nutrition. And it takes a little while to convince them that there may be some things about it that you want to look into. And as opposed to doing a whole nutrition program, maybe I'll just give them a few little pointers. And all of a sudden, they'll have some change where they'll feel really, really great. And it's at that point that I just touch base with them and say, hey, look, how do you feel right now? You feel like this all the time. And as soon as they felt that, I think anyone who feels that will convert, as you say. And I think that's what has caused me to strive to make the change 100% all the time, because I know what it feels like to feel energetic and to feel healthy and to have your joints not ache and to have your mind feel clear. And I think that actually probably is one of the most important to me, is I find without proper nutrition, my mind does not feel clear. So that would be my big driving force to also stick with it.
Yeah, so what it comes down to is a very subjective experience, and that's your guiding light. And it is for me, too. For myself, in addition to that, I found that the scientific evidence of my own life, like, for example, I've been barefoot sprinting on the grass here in Vernon quite routinely and just loving it, and I can actually measure an improvement in my VO2 max by doing that. So you take your pulse rate, you wait a minute, you wait 2 minutes, so your recovery improves. And then the biomedical, the biomarker issue, where you can reduce homocysteine or C-reactive protein by changing the diet. So for me, it was, I feel better, I look better, but in addition to this, I've got scientific evidence to show the world. Because you might say, well, I believe in the mumbo-jumbo god that lives on the moon of Europa, of Jupiter, because I feel that he's present in my heart. But people would say, well, you're a Looney Tune. Or you'd say, well, it doesn't matter. I feel this way. But then we've got some evidence, some physical evidence to validate our position. I think that that makes it almost impossible to not be swayed from, or that information for me helps to solidify the whole thing. So, no, that was great. That's a very important point that you made, and I think that people will really derive a great benefit from listening to what you said there. Now, my goodness, the time has rolled by. This has been a remarkable conversation, by the way. I've really enjoyed it.
Well, thanks, Corey. Me too.
Yeah, I just love speaking to people like yourself that are real and genuine and full of life and vitality and have the insight that it takes to make progress. What is your website, Caroline?
So my website is functionhealthandfitness.com. We also now have our new website, Function Health Club, and that is all about the new facility. You can get a lot of information there, and there's links on both sites. So yeah, functionhealthandfitness.com or functionhealthclubs.com.
Cool. And if I go there, you're going to take me, I guess, through a tour of your club, and I'll be able to find out about the services that you provide. But who would you recommend comes to your club to engage with you? Is this for all, everyone, children, families, individuals?
This is for everyone. As far as the nutrition and for gyms, there's an age requirement. But anyone who's interested in improving their health and wants to learn how to do that should come on down.
Is it a full-on gym where you pay a membership and just start working out, or is this the one-on-one thing combined with the facility?
So we've got two options. You can get a membership. There is a limited amount of memberships available. We're limiting it to 200 memberships. And then there's also the option of using the gym with a trainer. So we do offer personal training and group training. Then if you do have a membership, you can use the facilities all the time. And then we have the nutrition and massage and chiropractic right now as well.
Oh, that's cool. So at the conference coming up, I'll announce that you have a limit of 200,000 members, and that if everyone comes down on the same day, that they all get a discount.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Okay, good. There we go.
Okay, that would be great. Well, listen, Caroline, all the best to you, and I can't wait to see you at the conference coming up. I can't wait to go to the new club. Trace and I will definitely come down and have a workout. We'll tell everyone about it, and as we were talking before, I'd love to be able to help you in promoting it, maybe do a seminar and a lecture and do some promotion there. But you know what? We'll finish off with something from you, something deep and personal, maybe a bit philosophical, but you've got children, and I know that you love them and they love you, and you want this world to be a good place for them to live. What is your future vision for our planet based on what you know about the planet and the people on it right now?
A future vision for our planet. I guess I don't have a big, huge vision here, like it's something that I've really created in my mind, but I would say just having a general switch to prioritizing health. We say put your health at the center, what we have as our company sort of line. And I hope to see in time that people take that and instead of working 12 hours a day, they think about what they need to do for their health. And if every person on this planet was to think about their own personal health first, I think we would see the planet in general just morph into a completely different place. I think everyone would be happier, everyone would be healthier. And I think we'd see a very different world.
Caroline is a CSNA master as well as a personal trainer and yoga instructor. She's the owner of Function Health and Fitness, and is truly dedicated to the true consciousness of health and wellness and love for herself and her people. So, Caroline, we thank you very much for your contribution today.
Thank you, Corey, and thank you for having me here today to talk about all this, and I look forward to seeing you at your conference on the 29th.
So do I.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Representing lifestyle, new way of life. Listen, it's SNU, sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight, Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life, live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.